Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
For the record, yes! KD will soar in with a right-hand spike. Klay Thompson, three.
Welcome to the Warriors Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, Golden State Warriors Insider, Monty Poole.
Welcome, one and all, to the Warriors Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area, brought to you by Wendy's. I'm your host, Monty Poole. Today we have a very special guest, former NBA coach, current analyst at ESPN and ABC, Mr. Jeff Van Gundy. Thanks for joining us, Jeff.
No problem.
I guess I got to start right here because you are looking at the Warriors and Lakers on Saturday. From what you've seen so far with the Warriors, with the addition of DeMarcus Cousins, what are your thoughts?
I think it's too early to say. I think they were the prohibitive favorite without Cousins, and I think they're the prohibitive favorite with him. So early in the year, they had a little bit of an up-and-down start and looked to be more vulnerable, but I think they played really good basketball lately, and I don't see anything getting in their way in the Western Conference. I'd have a hard time seeing them getting pushed in the playoffs.
And when you look at Cousins, obviously he gives them a dimension they didn't have before, that interior presence, a real brawny-type guy who can go on the block and seal somebody and get an easy bucket. How does that make them that much harder to defend when you look at the fact they still have Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson?
Yeah, I'm not sure they were going to get better offensively, you know, with Cousins. You know, they were already such a great offensive team. I think what it did, though, was it allowed them and allows them to play better when they take Curry or Durant off the floor. In that they can have another offensive player in the game.
Right.
Their bench has been really decimated over the last 2 years, and they're a thin team. And so obviously when you add a player of high quality to that group, it's going to help because, like I said, their bench over the last couple of years has taken a lot of hits.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. They're trying to piecemeal it, and so far it's kind of worked out. They still have on pace for 58 to 60 wins this season. They had 58 last season, and people thought it was an off year. In your mind, 58 wins last year for the Warriors, off year or just the way the game is played?
I don't think they tried real hard last year in the regular season. And in some ways, I was disappointed that their lack of attention to the regular season still got them over in the playoffs. Because I think it's a concerning quality if somebody's so good that they don't necessarily have to extend themselves in the regular season and they can just try in the playoffs. But I don't think it was a disappointing year. You can't – 58 wins, I don't think many fans understand just how hard it is to achieve that. And for those starving Warrior fans for so many years to now – like, be unhappy with 58 seems a little bit off to me.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So, from your experience as a coach, though, is it realistic to think that a team can bring its best, you know, 90% of the time in the regular season, or is that asking too much? I mean, where does it – how do you find that happy medium between wanting to bring your best and also realizing that it really matters in April?
Yeah, I don't think they're exclusionary of each other. I think you can try your hardest and you can play well when it matters the most. I think only in professional sports, and in particular professional basketball, has the media propagated this thing like it's an either-or situation? I always like harken back to other jobs. Is your employer saying, hey, don't bring it in the regular season, Monty, so you can be at your very best come playoff time? No, they don't. They expect you to give solid effort on an everyday basis. And knowing that, hey, there's some days in professional sports that an individual player or a team is just not going to have a lot of energy, mm-hmm. understood. But this condoning of that, this overlooking of that, and this actually trying to teach our young people that, yeah, you don't have to try real hard if you're talented, because when it matters most, that's the only thing that matters. I just think it's a dangerous attitude, a dangerous precedent we're setting.
I think every coach believes that, and I think some players understand it too, but still have a hard time summoning that energy for 82 games when they, in their mind, certainly the Warriors, after four consecutive runs to the NBA Finals, look at the second season as the one that matters the most. It's kind of a sort of a, like you say, it's a dangerous game to play, but yeah, it is one that the coaches bemoan. But you saw games like, I mean, last night, the Warriors against the 76ers, and for the first half, the Warriors were there. For the second half, they weren't there. And who knows why? You know, it just didn't appear, it didn't materialize.
I don't think they lost as much as Philadelphia won. I thought Philadelphia was terrific in the second half. And I think you take out Klay Thompson, you take out any of the main Warrior guys, and just because their bench isn't what it used to be, I think it's going to be a lot harder. And so going back to last year, when they were down in game 6 and 7 to the Rockets, double figures at halftime,
yep.
In both of those games, you know, it could have bit them. You know, their reluctance to put forth an effort last year in the regular season, but that they were able to come back, particularly in a road game, in a game 7, down double digits at halftime, shows you just how good the Warriors are. And I think the same thing is going to happen this year. I think there's going to be some bumps in the road. I think there's going to be some days that their depth gets to them, or injury or sickness. But in the end, if they're healthy, it would be hard for me to picture anyone in the West beating them. Now, I do think some of the Eastern teams would pose some interesting matchups.
I thought last night's game against Philadelphia, yeah, kind of exposed a little bit that the Warriors, like you said, when you say they're a thin team, you're talking about depth, but they're also generally a thin team in terms of physicality, too. They don't have a bunch of guys who can knock people around. I mean, that's one of the things that Cousins can bring that they didn't have before. But when you look at the rest of the West, teams like Denver, teams like Utah, I mean, which teams do you say, after the Warriors, who do you think is going to be fighting for that 2-3 spot to maybe avoid the Warriors in the second round?
I think Denver's had a heck of a year with multiple injuries. I think Utah's first half schedule was brutal in there. They were on the road most of the time, and I think they're playing better, but also their schedule's been better now. Houston's been carried by Harden. But listen, we're not going to know anything until after the trade deadline, and as importantly, after the buyout, all the buyout stuff that happens that I'm really not a fan of. I think it distorts what NBA basketball should be. I think when people are bought out, it should be just like them getting waived. It should be like the lowest teams get a chance to, they want to pick up, they want to sign them to a minimum, they get them. So I don't like the buyout thing, but I think we won't know who could pose the biggest threat to the Warriors until after the trade deadline and after the buyout deadline.
Yeah, they have a roster spot they've kept open all season, and I'm pretty sure they're going to fill it, but it may be a week or two before they do. Certainly, if the player is bought out, he's not eligible for the postseason unless he's bought out before March 1. So I think there's always the possibility that they will fill that roster spot with someone who they believe can help them in the playoffs, and it'll probably be somebody who is bought out. So, but I asked Steve Kerr yesterday about the state of the NBA in terms of what's this trend we're seeing now with players forcing their way out of teams and kind of dictating where they want to go in some way or form? I mean, and he said it's just different from what it was when he was playing. When you were coaching, I mean, it was different from when you were coaching to a degree. What do you make of it, though? What are your thoughts on just what you see that, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, Kristaps Porzingis, you know, guys are coming up and saying, get me out of here?
Yeah. I think it's a disappointing day in the NBA. When you combine all of those things, I think it's also it may be something that impacts the NBA in a positive way, because the interest, not as many people like the game of basketball as they like the drama of the NBA. Because they can't explain to you why, but they can relate to, you know, these players, you know, trying to force their way out of a situation. So I just wonder long term if this is a positive, net positive for the NBA, or a net negative. I know for me, I'm certainly not as big a fan as I once was of the NBA. I'm not as big a fan of how the reliance on the three-point shot. I think the game is at some points monotonous. And also of just, I was accustomed to star players. Listen to me, mm-hmm. If you're a star, you win wherever you go, right?
Yep.
So no matter where you go, you're going to win. I think we anoint players who have great individual talent and skills as stars before they're stars.
They come into the league as stars sometimes. I mean, LeBron came into the league and there was all this attention around him, and he was a teenager, and that attention has never really left him. It's kind of followed him and gotten bigger as he's gone on from Cleveland to Miami, back to Cleveland, and now to L.A. And for the most part, he has been able to sort of dictate his own future after he got through those first few years with the Cavaliers. And that's why he chose Miami to take his talents to South Beach. And then decided at the time he wanted to go back to Cleveland to win a championship there. That's done. And then he decides, you know, I think L.A. is the right place and it's the right time right now. What has he brought to the NBA at large in terms of that kind of his impact on the player movement? And also, how has he been able to lift the Lakers to a different level?
Well, the Lakers, were a lottery team before he arrived there, with some interesting young players, but certainly not a threat to make the playoffs. And with him, they're hovering on the brink of the playoffs because, you know, obviously his injury set them back. But as far as what can he do in the playoffs in the West, it's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're 8th seed, 7th seed, you know, listen, the only team I don't think a James team could beat or be competitive in a series is the Warriors. But anybody else out West, you know, Denver, Houston, San Antonio, Utah, all these other teams, to me, they're very close. And I think James's Lakers could have a chance in any of those series. So I think he's had obviously a huge impact on them. And one thing about James and all his movement, I think it certainly impacted the way other players and lesser players have felt about how they can chart the course of their own career. LeBron James has delivered at every stop. When he came in to Cleveland as a rookie, he was already a good NBA player, which is incredible to think of, because so few have been able to come straight out of high school or even after 1 year of college and just absolutely be great. Mm-hmm. And James was great, like Doncic is right now, coming in and being a tremendous player. And then James kept ascending. And like I said, because he's a star, his teams win no matter where he goes. Some of those teams he played with in Cleveland, both his first time there and his second time there, were not very talented.
Yes, right.
You look at the Cleveland team this year, one of the worst records in the NBA. And yeah, J.R. Smith hasn't played, and they've had some injuries. But the only thing, Love has been out. But the bottom line is, they were a 50-win team with him, and they're going to win half those games this year in the 20s. So he's delivered every step of the way.
Are you like me? I'm amazed by the fact that LeBron James has been able to play as many minutes as he has, regular season, postseason combined. The last time I checked, he had played more minutes than anybody in the NBA except for Dirk Nowitzki, that he still plays at this level given the amount of wear and tear on his body?
I think he's obviously unique, but all this minute talk is overdone. I think it's hurting the league. I think it's hurting individual teams. I think it's having players not achieve as much as they could achieve if they push themselves a little bit more. I do not remember at all anybody saying to Michael Jordan when he was playing like 38 minutes a night when he was like 39, hey, are you tired? You know, no one asked that question. They just knew this guy was the greatest of the great. And that to me is LeBron James. He sits out 5 weeks or whatever he set out, 17, 18 games, and he comes back and plays 40 minutes. I mean, he's unique, but I just think the coddling of these players sometimes doesn't allow them to achieve what they could achieve if they push themselves more.
Interesting. There's a local college coach that I talk to from time to time about basketball. And whenever that subject comes up, he always says, hey, there was a season when Wilt Chamberlain averaged more than 48 minutes. It's like, really? So you won't see that ever again where a guy plays every minute of every game. But you're right. Different coaches have different ways of trying to manage minutes. And I know that with the Warriors, they try and keep guys in the mid-30s. At least in the regular season, and in the postseason, it'll go up a little bit. But I think the idea is that.
But Monty, remember the reason they can do that.
Yeah.
Is because they see the thing is, it's not about resting or winning; it's about winning. And the Warriors are able to win doing it that way. Not every team is constructed with that level of talent, so that they can play their best players so little and still win. Many of the fourth quarters, the stars for Golden State don't have to be in because they've hammered somebody by 20. So they get that rest in the fourth quarter that other teams, lesser talented teams, if they want to win, they can't afford to do that. So trying to compare the Warriors and their mentality versus, let's say, the Minnesota Timberwolves and their mentality, it's just not right. I mean, if the main players for these mediocre to 500 teams, if they tried to do it like the Warriors did, they wouldn't be nearly as good.
Yeah, I think you got a point there. When you look at a team like I look at the Sacramento Kings and what they're doing this year, it seems to be exciting. The fan base up there is kind of they're happy for once. And it's been a lot of lean years for that team. Have you seen much of the Kings, and what do you think of what they have up there?
I think Dave Yeager should be in the running for Coach of the Year. I think he's done a tremendous job. I think to try to lose for as many years as the Kings have lost and then figure a way to break through mentally, I give everyone in their organization a lot of credit. I saw them in the preseason in Seattle. We did their game. I thought they were one of the worst teams I've ever seen in my life.
It was bad. I was there too.
They were awful. They didn't want to be there. They're young players. They were playing back-to-back, but still, they just did not look like a good team. Then he shortened his rotation. He made difficult choices. He made the right choices. They play fast. They play hard. And I think everybody, and I know myself included, thought after 20 games, now, they'll drop off. The same thing after 40 games. I thought they would drop off. They have continued to hang in there. and that they're over 500, it's got to be exciting for their fan base because they play entertaining basketball. Mm-hmm. They play hard, and I hope it's winning back their fan base up there because it's an interesting, young, dynamic team.
Absolutely. I got a couple more questions for you before we let you go, Jeff, but I have to pause to let our sponsors know that we still love them. Wendy's new Made to Crave menu has all the cravings covered, even those you don't know you had. Try the Sawsome Bacon Cheeseburger, the Barbecue Cheeseburger, and the Peppercorn Mushroom Melt. Cravings, consider yourself satisfied. They're available now at all participating Wendy's. If you don't like any of those things, there's always that Frosty, so you got options. Jeff?
You know what's underrated at Wendy's, Money?
What's that?
You know what's underrated? Their chili.
Oh, yeah.
I think their chili is outstanding.
No argument here. Not at all.
All right.
I will stop. That's one of the main things I get when I go to Wendy's is the chili. It's reliable and it's good. It's a nice snack.
Yeah.
So when you look at the Western Conference versus the Eastern Conference, you know, a couple of years ago, I said, God, the East can't compete. It appears the East has closed some ground. How do you look at the whole West-East competition at this stage of the season?
Well, I think the Western Conference obviously is better top to bottom. Really, only Phoenix is a bad team. Everybody else is pretty good. In the East, the top five are very good. And after that, it thins out dramatically. So I think depth-wise, it's not even it's not comparable. But I do think whoever comes out of the East, if they play the Warriors in the finals, there'll be some interesting matchups because if it's Toronto, Milwaukee, Boston, whoever does end up coming out of there, I think they pose some matchup problems. And I think depth-wise, they're suited to match up against this great Warrior team. So hopefully this finals coming up will be better than last year's as far as competitively. Last year, unfortunately, was such a walkover for the Warriors that the playoffs peaked in that Houston Golden State series.
Absolutely. Seven games and epic. So is there anything any of the teams in the West can do, and I guess you can say parenthetically, like Anthony Davis going to the Lakers, that any of these teams in the West can do to really, truly threaten the Warriors before they get to the finals?
I don't see it, but again, all you are with the Warriors is one Steph Curry sprained ankle away from, you know, it being hard. And, you know, injuries are hard to predict, but have an absolute dramatic impact on outcomes. And, you know, so I don't see it, Monty. I don't see it at all. But I do hope that it's just not a walkover for them because playoff basketball, you know, series are great when they get to game 6 and 7. I just don't see any series with them in the West going past 5, though, this year.
Yeah, that's kind of how it was last year until they got to Houston. Do you miss coaching in the NBA?
I think what you have to try to determine is you have to look at NBA coaching in totality. You can't break it up by what you miss, which are the good parts of a job, and what you don't miss, which is the bad parts. You have to see it as in a whole picture. You don't get to pick and choose. So I do miss the competition and the camaraderie, incredibly so. There's no better 5 minutes in life than to be in the locker room after a great road win. Mm. And so that part, the preparation part, the relationship part, you miss it all. And that's why the jobs are so coveted. They're so hard to get. And I think NBA coaching right now is as good as it's ever been.
Yeah, it's pretty good. There are a lot of Coach of the Year candidates right now. I mean, you mentioned Dave Yeager. I mean, Michael Malone's doing a great job in Denver. You've got, I think, Nick Nurse has done a wonderful job in Toronto. So a lot of guys are in that mix, in that conversation. Two questions. One, can you see yourself coming back to the NBA to coach?
Well, again, like, I've had some opportunities that I didn't think were a good fit. I've pursued jobs that they didn't think I was a good fit for them, right? So it's really all about fit. But I could see myself coaching again, either as an assistant or as a head coach. It's great basketball. The game, to me, is a little stale right now because you don't have as many different styles of play. Everybody plays basically the same. You know, well, I should say that the Warriors don't. They don't utilize, you know, the screen and roll as much as most teams, although they could. And, you know, Curry may put up Harden numbers if they did it that way. So yeah. I just think, like, you know, it may happen. But one thing I don't worry about is what's next. I found that to be a rabbit hole that's hard to get out of. So I just worry about, like, trying to do the best I can at what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. And I can't let you get out of here without asking you this last question, which is, I know you and your brother Stan, the family, spent a portion of your lives in the Bay Area here. And I just wonder, what are your memories of the Bay Area? And when you come to the Bay Area, do you ever go back to where you grew up in that area at all?
Over Christmas, I did. I had the game here, and I made my family take the nostalgia tour. And so we drove up to Napa, and then from Napa down through Benicia back to Martinez, where we went to school, and past Alhambra High School, the boys club where we were always at, had to take pictures by our house. 612
So your house is still there?
Martinez, California. Yeah. It looks the same. No updates or upgrades have been had. You know, so yeah, and I'll tell you what I remember the most. You know, my dad was in coaching. He coached at St. Mary's as an assistant. He coached at Cal State Hayward, which I think now is called Cal State East Bay.
Correct.
Yep. And then Cabrillo Junior College down in Santa Cruz. But as far as pro sports, I was right in the midst of the great Open A run of 72, 73, 74. That was incredible to be around during those world championships and being able to go to the games for like a dollar, could sit in the bleachers for like a dollar.
Yep.
And then, you know, obviously the great Warrior team with Rick Barry and Clifford Ray, that championship run, obviously. I just remember listening to, I think it was Bill King, do play-by-play by radio. And I just remember this guy, Charles Dudley, and he was always saying, like, I think he called him the Hopper.
The Hopper.
And I couldn't tell you much about his game, but he was my favorite player because of that nickname, the Hopper.
Yeah, I think they called him the Grasshopper, and they just shortened it to Hopper.
Yeah. You know, Jeff Mullins was around, like, when I was growing up. So it's like, it's very cool. You know, it's a great sports town. I was a Raider fan, too. So we used to always go up to Santa Rosa for training camp where you could sit. You know, it's not like it is so corporate today. Bring out a picnic blanket and be there with, like, 20 other people and watch Fred Biletnikoff grab passes with one hand.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Man, those were the days. Jeff, I want to thank you for joining us. It's been fun talking basketball with you. And we will see you tomorrow for the Warriors-Lakers games at Oracle Arena. And as Michael Thompson says, don't be surprised if the Warriors and Lakers are in the Western Conference Finals. So you just never know with this league. It's a crazy league right now.
It is. We'll wait and see.
Yes, sir. You've been listening to the Warriors Insider Podcast brought to you by Wendy's. If you haven't already, please visit Apple Podcasts or Google Play to subscribe. If you like our podcast, give us a rating and a review. If you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at NBCS Authentic. We will be back next week with another great guest. Thanks for tuning in, Warriors fans and fans of the NBA.
let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.